John 2:13. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." I'd like to speak to you today on the subject, reset. God bless you. I want to ask you a question. How do you normally picture Jesus? I'm not talking about his physical appearance. It's interesting that we have no recording of that, so it's left somewhat to the imagination. And I would think God was intentional that that's not really what Jesus was about. But how do you picture Jesus? Do you see him as a gentle shepherd who gives his life for the sheep? What about a mother hen gathering her little chickens around her and putting them under her wings? Do you see Jesus as a soft-spoken Savior saying things like, as he did, "Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? Do you see him stooping in the sand and writing something and saying to the woman caught in the act of adultery, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more"? Do you hear him saying, "Let not your heart be troubled"? Or do you envision him with children sitting in his lap as he explains that such is the kingdom of heaven? Well, I think you may know that there is another side to our Jesus. And the book of John records the story of Jesus cleansing the temple. It reveals a side of Jesus Christ that some might rather forget. Jesus, someone wrote, came to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. John 2 opens with this story of the very first miracle that Jesus Christ worked at the marriage of Cana of Galilee when he turned water into wine. Immediately after that miracle, the Bible said in John 2:12 that Jesus went to Capernaum, where he spent a few days with his mother, his half-brothers, and the disciples. And then in verse 13, our text today, it was the time of the Passover of the Jews, and it was this great feast day, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the book of John, there are three mentions of Passover feasts, and it is clear that this occasion of this cleansing of the temple was at the first Passover in the ministry of Jesus, clearly at the onset of his ministry. Now, we know that Jesus went to the temple annually as a boy. We remember the story at 12 when he was left there by his parents. But it would seem that Jesus went there every year as a good Jew would do. But this year it was different. He had initiated his ministry with prayer and fasting, overcoming the temptations of the devil. He was baptized of John the Baptist in the Jordan River, and he had worked his first miracle. He was ready to launch out into the deep of ministry, and he begins it. One of the very first acts of his ministry is to go into the city of Jerusalem and walk into the temple. He is really about his Father's business. But when Jesus went into the temple, he found something there that did not belong there. The Bible tells us that when Jesus went into the temple, he found those who were selling sheep and oxen and dove. He saw the money changers, and he made a whip out of cords maybe that were laying around on the courts of the temple. And with that whip, he began to drive those money changers and those who sold sheep and oxen and dove. He drove them out of the temple, and he turned over their tables, and he told them to take these things away. Get this out of my house. This does not belong here. And he said to them, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. This is not a place for personal gain. When God gave King David the plans for the temple that was later built by his son Solomon, it was designed with worship of God in mind. The temple was not built for us to use for what we could get from it. It was built so we could give glory to Almighty God, and so his glory would appear there. The temple was not built to be some kind of a bazaar where animals were sold and money was exchanged. What Jesus found was an abuse of the house of worship. Jesus finding these pieces of rope, plaiting a whip, braiding the cords of it together, driving them out of the temple. It was not in a fit of rage. It was a thoughtful decision of righteousness that Jesus had. I tried to picture this taking place, and one man, a carpenter, is, in their mind, running all of these men out of the temple. Surely there were enough men there that they could have physically overpowered Jesus as a human and thrown him out of the temple. But there was something about his presence that had authority. And you know, when you're doing the wrong thing, when you're sinning, you become a coward. The Bible said that the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Jesus called that temple my father's house. He did not say that this is your house. He said this is my father's house. And we do not determine how our father's house is used. A place of worship had become a flea market. Money-hungry merchants built makeshift corrals in the courts of the temple to house these animals, the sheep and the oxen. And this is what the temple had turned into. You can imagine the cages of dove sitting here and there, everywhere, stacked up for sacrifice. The money changers changing foreign currency or secular currency into temple coins, selling sacrifices they were at inflated prices. Sheep, oxen, dove. Can you imagine the sight that Jesus encountered when he walked into the temple this time? Can you fathom the smell in the courts of the temple? It literally stunk in God's house because of this abuse of my father's house. Is this the church or is this a stable? What a great impression that must have made for people who came from all over the world to see the temple and to try to find God there. I thought about the Ethiopian eunuch who was a God-fearer, recorded in Acts chapter 10. But he would be typical of a person who came to find God. Can you imagine what it was like to walk into that temple and instead of finding God, finding some kind of a flea market of items being sold there? What a terrible tragedy and abuse of the house of God. But what Jesus did that day, recorded in John chapter 2, reset the temple back to its original purpose. He said, we've got to drive out everything that does not belong here. We've got to do a full reset to bring back the glory of my father's house. We must restore this place to its original intended purpose. Out with the stuff that doesn't belong. Out with everything that has displaced the purpose of my father's house. It needed a full reset of the house of God. Let's talk about reset. No doubt, all of you tech-savvy saints know what it means to reset. Reset means, get ready for this, reset means to set again. I know you didn't think you would learn something that deep and powerful in church on Sunday, but you have. I have a stopwatch on my phone, and I can start the stopwatch, I can stop it, or I can hit reset, and it goes back to zero to start again. And I'm sure you never thought that this is the powerful information you'd have gotten today. Under my iPhone settings, and I apologize to everyone who uses a different phone platform than an iPhone, I have a menu that is called Reset. I can reset all settings. I can erase content. I can reset my network settings. I can reset my keyboard dictionary or the home screen or my location and privacy. Now, why a reset? Why would you need to reset a digital device? Well, maybe it's become corrupted. Maybe there's bugs that are there. Maybe it has become extraordinarily slow and everything has gotten complicated and maybe convoluted, and I need to go back and reset my phone to its original settings. They say it's a handy way to resolve problems with an erratically behaving phone. If apps are crashing, you can't get your phone to recognize a connected device that's worked before on your phone. If it locks up, a reset may be necessary. There may be lags and delays, and if there are, you just need to reset. Files might have been corrupted, just simply reset. When things have drifted away from their intended use, then you need to do a full reset. Jesus is never pleased when his temple is being polluted. Jesus Christ does not look the other way. When churches make merchandise of his message, Jesus is not okay with weak worship that does not come from the heart. Jesus cares when his glory is supplanted by ours. Jesus started his ministry with resetting the purpose of his temple. And I have seen in God's word and learned in my life that religion without relationship is on God's radar for a reset. I wonder how many times God spiritually has been braiding a whip, that he is looking at the people that are his people, and he is coming to cleanse his house. I'm not just referring to organized religion, but I see my Savior coming toward me, coming toward us. Maybe you want to run for cover, but he is actually coming to drive out that which does not belong in his temple so he can reset it to its original purpose. And in case you don't remember, according to the word of God in 1 Corinthians 3:16, know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Or 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, when you came to God for the very first time, Jesus initiated that relationship with a reset, with a cleansing. The conviction that you felt for sin, that godly sorrow, led you to repentance, and you died to sin and self-will when you confessed and forsook your sins. When Jesus came into your life, your temple, he drove out everything that did not fit there. He drove out every sin, every attitude, everything that did not belong in a holy house of God. And then Jesus filled you with his Holy Spirit. Not just any spirit, but he filled you with the Holy Spirit and he made you his own. What was lost in the Garden of Eden by sin was restored by the blood of the cross of Christ. You were redeemed and you were cleansed. Your temple was reset to its original settings of holiness and of a right relationship with God. That is what happened when you were saved. But I think we all would admit that reset is not just a one-time thing that happens at initial salvation. Time has a way of allowing sin to slow down our spiritual operating system. We get bugs and glitches and junk that attaches itself to our spirit and comes into our mind and takes us away from that holy person God once made when he justified us by his blood. The Bible is clear that repentance is not a one-time thing. 1 John 2:1 tells us that we should not sin, but if we sin, we have an advocate with the righteous, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And then that same John who wrote the book of John from our text today also wrote the letter of 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you to understand today something that I feel like you know intuitively and spiritually, that we need to reset again and again. Jesus said that cares and riches and pleasures can grow up in our lives and choke out the life of God so that we do not become mature spiritual sons and daughters of God. You see, you may be saved, but Jesus Christ needs to come and pretty often do a reset in your life to say out with the old, to bring in the new. Those of us who have had our temple of our lives cleansed by the saving blood of Jesus Christ need a spiritual reset in this season when the world seems to be resetting. There's an interesting understanding about the scriptures. The book of John records this temple cleansing by Jesus Christ very early in his ministry, right after his very first miracle. And then Jesus proceeds with his ministry. But that reset that Jesus did of the temple early in his ministry did not last forever, and it is possible that it did not last long. I don't really know how long it took for things to digress in the temple, but they did. It may not have been all at once, probably a slow drift back to the old ungodly ways of before. Maybe the money changers came first, and then the smaller sacrifices like the dove began to come back into the temple, into the very places that Jesus had once cleansed. Before long, the sheep were back, and they were bleeding in the temple courts, and And then the oxen, you could hear them bellowing over in their stalls that had been made in the place where you came to pray and worship Almighty God. I don't know how long it took for the purpose of the temple to be corrupted, but less than 3 years after Jesus initially cleansed that temple, things were back to abnormal again. And I know I said abnormal because it was abnormal what was going on in God's house. You see, John, the book of John, is sometimes called the supplement gospel. It contains many things that are not written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, the synoptic gospels. So John records this early cleansing of the temple, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three of these synoptic gospels, record another cleansing of the temple. It was just days before the crucifixion. It was in the final week before he would pay the price with his life on the cross. Jesus had made his triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem, and they were shouting. He was heralded like a hero. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But now here is Jesus. He's not in Galilee, the province in which he was raised. He is back in Judea. He is in the city of Jerusalem. And he goes back into the temple that he had cleansed at the beginning of his ministry. And Jesus is incensed by what he sees. What he had driven out before had crept back into the temple again. Jesus did again what he did at the onset of his ministry. Mark 11:15 gives us a clear picture of this. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seat of those who sold doves. Jesus did a stop sign, Mark 11:16, and he would not allow anyone to carry their wares through the temple. The other synoptics, there are people who are using the temple for a shortcut to cut through on their way to someone else, but Jesus halted them and would not let them carry all of their goods for sale through the temple. Jesus said in Mark 11:17, he talked to them saying, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves." His words are harsher at the end than they were at the beginning. What have you made of my house? It was a house of prayer for all nations. It was to be a place of worship, but now you have allowed it to be filled with everything except that which belongs there. It was time for Jesus Christ to push the reset button again on his holy house, the temple of Almighty God. It was when Jesus cleansed the temple the second time at the end of his ministry that the scribes and chief priests sought opportunity to destroy him. It was a trigger that caused him to say, "This man has got to go." Matthew 21 tells us that when Jesus hit that reset button on the temple, when he drove out everything that did not belong there, when everything went that was supposed to be out, then Matthew says that the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them there. And these scribes and chief priests looked around, and all of a sudden in the temple courts there were children that were in the temple, little kids from the children's ministry, and they were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." When merchandise was driven out, then worship and praise could come back in, and the miraculous took place in the temple that belonged to the Lord. They said to Jesus, "What's with these kids here?" And prophetic words came out of his voice as he quoted the Old Testament. "Have you not heard that out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise?" That's what should be going on in the temple, but it can only happen if there is a reset. Miracles were in and merchandisers were out. Children were praising, and oxen and sheep and doves and money changers were displaced by the reset that Jesus Christ did. My house shall be called a house of prayer. And where the thieves and the robbers, where those who were taking advantage of worshipers had corrupted the intended use of my Father's house, once again, there is renewal and there is revival and there is the miraculous because of the reset. There are many people who feel like because of the coronavirus that has swept our world, that in many ways our world is in the process of a reset, medically, economically, socially. We don't know what things will look like just 3 months from now, but we know that there are many things that are changing in our culture right now. And I tell you that the medical factors and the economic factors are very, very serious. But for us, there is another concern that is even greater than the concern for physical or fiscal health. And that is the concern that God's people would really be a place, not just a physical church building or even a physical home, but the hearts of God's people would welcome the Lord of the temple back to his temple. Today, I'm inviting you to do a full spiritual reset. I'm not condemning you or talking down to you. I'm saying that every one of us need to periodically examine ourselves and ask God to push reset on our spirit and on our soul. We need to drive out so many of the things that have crowded into and crept into the place of worship, the sanctuary of our soul. And we need to allow the glory of the Lord to fill his house. You see, revival needs to come to us so it can come to our country and our world. The writings of 2 Chronicles 7:14 that have cycled around through the years need to be prayed again. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If we just go on with business as usual, nothing new will happen. If we just bide our time and ride out the storm of coronavirus, if we just stay the same, then nothing will change that really matters. But today, I feel a great and growing sense of hunger in the hearts of God's people for what really matters most. I believe that we are ready and we are hungry for a reset. If we will let Jesus Christ cleanse our hearts, I believe that there will be an unprecedented revival in our land. We need to take time right now to cleanse his temple, our life. We need to welcome back the King of Glory. Malachi chapter 3, that final book of the Old Testament, Malachi said, I will send my messenger, speaking of John the Baptist. He will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. John the Baptist was that man who cleansed the hearts of the people with his very direct preaching. The axe is laid to the root of the trees. And when he prepared the way of the Lord of the temple came to his temple. If you are not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, right now, would you repent of your sins? Would you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and cleanse you and fill you with the Holy Ghost? In just a few moments, you can connect with our altar team, and they will pray with you. If you are a born-again believer, a child of God, but while I've been preaching, if God has been speaking, would you let him come into your heart right now? I know he lives there already, but I'm inviting you to invite him to come drive some things out. Go ahead, Lord. Turn the tables over. Cleanse me. Hallelujah. Right now would be a good time to repent and renew your relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no profit to pretending. Jesus cleansed you when he saved you. He gave you an abundant life. He gave you direction and an eternal destiny. So let's stop right where we are and let's cleanse his temple so that the King of Glory can come and fill our lives with his presence. Let's pray right now, and then we're going to enter a time of worship, inviting the King of Glory to fill our hearts and our homes, and that he would bring a revival to our country.